and we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
All right, what is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, the guy who cooks bacon with his shirt off. I'm having so much fun today. I've probably had a little too much coffee, but we'll get into it. I got my friend John Wiley on here in just a few minutes. He's an 18-year radio host, previously in law enforcement, but now hosts a podcast and radio show called The Law Enforcement Today Radio, a show and podcast. Crushes it. Okay, when you talk about podcast growth, you talk about growing your audience, growing your community, getting sponsors. I mean, this guy is really blazing the trail for the rest of us. So I'm excited to have him on here in just a few minutes. And he's going to walk us through, you know, how do we get our podcast syndicated? Is that even a good idea to get your podcast or your format or whatever that is syndicated? So we're going to jump into all those things, and I hope you're doing well. And if you're around somewhere, a subscribe button, be sure to smash that thing right now if you're watching on YouTube or Bullhorn or wherever you're watching or listening, subscribe to it and check out the podcast audio only as well. Now, I did add a new segment yesterday, so let's go ahead and jump right into it.
What? It's tool time with Creating Daily.
All right, someone told me yesterday they couldn't understand me saying tool time in that. This person was a little older, but if you didn't understand it, let me know as well. Or were they just having a hard time hearing? I don't know. Anyway, maybe John can teach me how to do radio stingers. But today, one of my favorite tools that I'm going to be talking about is King Sumo. So if you're looking to grow your audience, connect with your audience, engage, King Sumo is a fantastic giveaway platform. They make it super easy. It's a one-time fee. I think it's like $49 or something. This is not an affiliate pitch. I'm just sharing my favorite tools with you, and it literally handles everything for you. So I don't know if you've ever done a giveaway on social media, but I've literally like been looking at my phone, writing people's names down on paper or typing into some spreadsheet to print it out later and draw something out of a hat. You can eliminate all of that pain and just send everyone to here. And it does all that social sharing and get more points for this and that and all that kind of stuff. So for all you creators who are looking to engage with your audience, maybe even grow your audience, do a giveaway. Who knows? Maybe it'll go viral or partner with a brand, a sponsor, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so hopefully that's it for you, King Sumo. Go check it out. Now let's go over to
Creator Highlights.
No cooking necessary, no assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, all right, all right. Today's Creator Highlight is brought to you by my friends over at Maven Coffee. As I say most days, this is the best coffee in the world, not because I say so, but because it was literally voted with some other coffee stuff. So anyway, the award-winning coffee, I don't know, go check them out. They work with small batch micro lots from Colombia. They work directly with the farmers. It's delicious. I'm drinking it every day, multiple times a day. I would drink a bag a day if I could, but mavencoffee.com, go check those guys out. Doing an amazing job in the coffee space. Now, for my creator highlight, I got my friend Jody Kringle. Now, she is just an amazing person, first of all. She is a voice actor, a solopreneur, podcaster. She's done a lot of jobs, I should say. Sorry, I'm stuttering all over the place. Jobs for like big brands, some of the biggest brands on the planet. Amazing person when it comes to audio branding. So go check out her podcast, the Audio Branding Podcast. You can check it out wherever you listen to your show. And she's literally talking about, you know, what it is for marketing. What is your voice for marketing? Audio branding. I mean, she is the person to go to when it's talking about the power of your voice. So go check her out. Go to onesheet.pro/Jody Kringle and you can check out her stuff there and bring her on your show. Have her on your show or whatever to talk about the power of voice. So really appreciate them and appreciate One Sheet for getting all of us creators a nice One Sheet, a nice press kit. So go to onesheet.pro/Billy Thorpe so I can stay number one in the directory. Now, anyway, I'm going to stop talking here. I'm going to bring my friend John on. He's an amazing guy, and we're going to talk about podcasting and radio and all that fun stuff. So, John, welcome to Creating Daily, man. Thanks for coming.
Billy, thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, I don't normally let people on my show where their voice and their mic sounds better than mine because I want to look superior, but I'll make an exception today.
You sound great, my friend. You always do. I got to work on my audio setup for my clubhouse. Usually I use the phone. So the radio and, you know, sound is important. Audio quality is very, very important. And video and audio shows only, but content by far is king. And your personality is part of your content. And you got a winning personality and a great message.
Thanks, John. Man, I appreciate that. You know, especially coming from someone like you who's been in the game for a really long time. I mean, 18 years as a radio host is no joke. And then, you know, I think like 5 years, if my math is right, as a podcaster. And you've really done an amazing job at building an audience, building a community. So, man, I just want to pick your brain and we'll just have a conversation, really, you know, about these two worlds. Because I often think when I'm in the podcasting space, people are like, oh, no, to radio. And I was a little bit like that until I met you and heard some of the moves you're making in the radio space and how it's more of a partnership than it is versus. So is radio dead, John? Why should we focus on radio? Why should we, as podcasters, put radio in our tool bag?
According to Nielsen, I believe it's 93% of the United States Americans listen to radio daily. So that's still a huge number. If you want to get in front of a large audience, it's a great way. When you listen to the big syndicated talk show hosts, they realize that, and they use that as a platform to drive traffic to their websites, their podcast, and also, for example, email newsletter and other private content. They realize the power of being in front of a large audience. And quite honestly, the difference between radio and podcasting is my wife drives my car periodically. And after adjusting the seat, because I'm like crippled getting into it, she puts on a station I don't normally listen to. So I get exposed to a station and programming I wouldn't normally seek out. Podcasts, you have to literally seek out that show. And so you can get some bleed over. You can get in front of a larger audience. And for all those who say radio is dead, look, I'm glad to hear that because that means more money for me and more slice of the pie for me. Because to be honest with you, most of the sponsorship comes from radio. Secondarily is podcast.
Yeah, man. I love that. You know, less people in the space, more opportunity for you to come in and dominate that spot. So, man, I agree. And I, you know, once again, I was probably jumping on that bandwagon because, you know, we always, maybe not as all creators, but sometimes as people were like, oh, well, what I'm doing is better than what you're doing or whatever. And I love it that you've merged these two so seamlessly and done it pretty well. Man, so give me a rundown of the law enforcement radio or Law Enforcement Today radio show and podcast. And how are those two things married? Like, how are you balancing the two? And then we'll talk about if somebody wants to get their podcast on, how they do that. But for the first one, how do you balance those two?
First things first, I want people to realize I'm not a special case. You know, everything I've learned has been taught to me by other people, program directors, music directors, station managers. They've all taught me along the way. I've had instructors teach me. So I try to stick with what has been taught to me and what I've learned from my experience and stay away from speculation, opinion, and things of that nature. So people that are in the podcasting space, they may not realize they can do this, but I'm telling you, if I can do this, you can do this. Billy's show about fishing can do this. Other shows can do this. What I did was, and this may sound weird, you know, I was a police officer first. I got hurt and retired young at the age of 33. And about 8 years later, pursuing a career in broadcasting. In the early days that we now consider podcasting, I'd use Cool Edit. I would create an MP3, load it on a website, an MP3 download script, and people would listen to it. And then I went to a brokered radio station where I paid for my time. Anybody can do this and sell my own advertising, create a radio show and a podcast. I went to night school and then been a full-time FM music jock for about 18 years. Long story short, in 2017, and I say this, you know, every radio station I've worked at, I've never been fired from one. I'm very, very lucky. And I'm at my radio corporate offices right now, so excuse the mess. No matter how hard I work on that radio station, the minute I stop working for them, I stop getting paid. I don't make anything. I've got no skin in the game. It's a business. So what I did was I took what I learned from radio, combined it with the human experience in law enforcement, and 2017 launched the podcast. Long story short, we got heard by someone on social media. I partnered with someone with a really big social media page, Facebook page, a radio station upstate New York, said they wanted it for radio. Could we create a radio version, which we did. We now are syndicated. I did the first syndication of 13 stations myself with sending the parts every week using WeTransfer.com, nothing complicated. As an MP3, and Then my syndicate right now is Talk Media Network, and we're on 81 stations broadcasting once a week to about 24 million combined population. Then it goes online as a podcast. And I'll close on this segment with this. In the very beginning, I had a very specific reason why I wanted to do the podcast. I had a very specific audience. I knew what I wanted to do, and it wasn't about me. The minute we went to radio, we had expanded. And I use the analogy. You've heard it before. Interstate 95 is close to where I live in South Florida. So parts of it are five, six lanes in each direction heading north or south. It's always the same direction. You go a couple hours north, it's two lanes each direction. So what I had to do when I went from podcast only to radio, I'd expand from two lanes to six lanes. But I'm always heading the same direction. So it's never totally different. You're not going to tune in and all of a sudden hear a show about underwater basket weaving, because that's not what my audience expects. So that's what I've done. And the first, I'd say, 4 years after being in radio, I only used the podcast as a support mechanism for radio. If you missed the show, you could listen to it here. It wasn't until I got in Clubhouse that I began really pursuing and seeing, the different opportunities that were available in the podcasting space that weren't available in the radio space due to FCC formatting, whatever it might be, and able to do a lot more and create another revenue stream. So the two combined for me is a great marriage.
Yeah, man, I love that you started that as like kind of a replay, like an on-demand option. I think that's pretty unique for radio. You know, if you're a radio host listening to this, that's like, you know, kind of going the other way. It's like, oh, this is pretty cool. I mean, that was a pretty smart move there to say, hey, go catch the replay over here. Now, you said that you had the podcast, you're doing the podcast, and then you created that show for radio. So what's the difference between like a radio show format and a podcast format? Or is there a difference there?
For me, and for a lot of people, there's a huge difference. One of the things I say is, and I say it, and here's what I love about Billy and a few other people. We don't argue. We don't always agree with everything, but we don't argue each other's points. When people say it's your show, you can do whatever you want. You can. You are allowed to do whatever you want. If you want to make it all about you and a mouthpiece for you and what you think or what you feel, you want to be a thought leader, that's great. How many people are going to be interested in what you have to say? That's the guiding thing. Mm-hmm. If I want myself to have a good experience, I want my guests to have a good experience, but the most important thing is the listener. We want them to get what they need out of the show, what they're expecting. So I want to address certain points. The main two things for radio in the United States compared to podcasting, you need to have a clock, which means how long your segment's going to be and where the stations have their avails. They can put their news, traffic, weather, commercials, things of that nature. The other one is FCC rules. And we've all heard the George Carlin joke about the things you can't say on radio. There's certain things you can't say. There's certain things you don't want to talk about. And it's not a big thing for me. I learned a long time ago when I got in the radio world because of hot mics and things of that nature, that if I didn't curse in my everyday language, there's a good chance I wouldn't curse by accident on the radio and get fined or fired. So if I go through all the effort to get my show on a radio station, I don't want to get dumped in the first couple of weeks because of something stupid I said that violated the FCC rules and put their license at risk. If you handle those two things, you can go far.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. You know, that's good to know, because I think some people get on a podcast and turn it into a rant for them, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know I signed up to listen to this. So that's good to know, to like keep your – and I like that too, man, that clock, because I think oftentimes, you know, for me anyway, I do kind of have that rule or not rule that, hey, it's your show, you can do whatever. However, I do have best practices. I believe in formats of shows. One, because it keeps me way more organized. And then that timing thing is pretty cool too, because I think as a content creator, as a radio host or podcaster or both, it can kind of stretch you a little bit to say, hey, do the hard work and figure it out. Just because you're done saying whatever, like maybe there's a little more you need to say or a little less. Probably in a lot of people's cases, it's like, keep me. And now when you're thinking about building the show for radio, what are those time slots? They have different options, or is it 20 minutes for everybody, or how does that work?
There's different options. Every station's a little bit different. The format I use is, I'll just give you a brief example. The very first segment is 9 minutes and 59 seconds long. The second one is also 9 minutes and 59 seconds. The third one is 10 minutes, 59 seconds. And the fourth one is 11 minutes, 49 seconds. I can put my commercials, my call to actions, billboard reads in the beginning of each segment, end of each segment. So that's the station knows this is how much time allotted. My syndicator has this is how much time I'm allotted. And this is where I can put my weather, my traffic, my news, whatever it might be. The other big difference is bumper music. When I do an intro, it's always 10 seconds long on the radio version, and I lower the volume of the music because if they need to do an overlay of station ID or whatever it might be, they can do that. Of course, I shorten that dramatically for the podcast version. So that's a basic clock. And if people need an example, they can go to my website and they can download one, see the one I use, and see the PDF version and also the text version as well.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I love that. Thanks for breaking that up, because I'm, you know, even creating daily, I'm sitting there like, okay, what kind of formats am I going to do? And I'm used to TV, and I think TV was like 28:30 or something of that nature. So it was always like, man, it was so tough, because I worked where people are just like, oh, we're going to record a bunch of stuff and you're going to take it into the editing suite and you're going to figure out how to make all this content make sense, tell the story, and, you know, hit it at 28:30. It was really challenging, but I think it really did help me out. So I like that fact of, you know, knowing those types of things. So, John, will any podcast work? Like, I have a 45-minute-ish show for fishing. Is any podcast qualifying for this type of, you know, radio show? Or what have you seen works the best when it goes from podcast to a radio show?
It's knowing what your show is, number one. There's three basic type shows in my mindset. You've got business-to-business shows. You got a business-to-consumer show. Which yours might follow into, and then you have general entertainment or consumption shows, which mine falls into. I have nothing to sell. So two good examples of business-to-consumer shows that are doing very well in the radio space are the Kim Komando Show and also Dave Ramsey. If you listen to them, they're about topics which you would think are boring. However, they've made them entertaining. They entertain first, they inform second. So when they have an opportunity to pitch their product, their book, whatever it might be, they throw that in there. So it creates a revenue stream for them as well. Email newsletter, all that stuff. Now, with general entertainment consumption shows, it's all about the story. So the people who are really good at what they do will take a business-to-consumer show like yours and weave in some entertainment story factors, not just make it facts. When people say, I want to be an authority figure, I want to increase my standing in the community, what people know exactly who I am. In a radio world, that doesn't work well. If you're going to do that, you can do it. However, you're going to pay. You're going to pay what they call brokered stations. And you can do that. It's an option for everybody. You can broker a show in New York City. I think the last time I talked to someone, it's about $1,300 per hour in New York City. Los Angeles, number two, is close. But you'll be in front of probably a million people. Local stations, it could be less. It could be anywhere from $50 to $100 an hour. But if you make it a commercial show and don't have entertainment value where you are a draw, you're going to have to pay. So my show is done only on barter. That's the other option. And it gives them content, and they have spaces where they can sell their advertising, their sponsorship, and things of that nature. And it's a win-win for me, the radio station, and the syndicator as well.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that was the question I was about to ask you. Rich Graham here over on YouTube, actually, I'm bringing it up here on the screen, says, "Wow, Billy, great topic. Do stations air shows for free? Do they charge podcasters? Do podcasters pay?" So it sounds like there's a little bit of a mix in that option.
It all depends. It depends on your show. Look, I don't pay anybody. It just doesn't work. My business model doesn't contain something I sell. When you turn on your radio station on the weekends and you hear a real estate show, or you hear a mortgage show, or you hear vitamins, sports, sometimes sports shows on weekends, it's a contradiction from their normal format. That's normally brokered content. Here's one thing. My syndicator, Josh Lang from Talk Media Network, has signed up three podcasters, I believe, to do syndicated radio shows. There was a guy named Rush Limbaugh that when he died, it created a big opening in the talk media world. And on the weekends, so many stations have brokered content. And what happens is, A, it's a ratings killer because it's an infomercial. Mm. And there's a reason why infomercials on TV are on late at night, because they kill ratings. But when you have brokered shows where people are paying for it and they stop paying, all of a sudden it's a nightmare for the PD. It's a nightmare, and I say PD is program director. It's a nightmare for the general manager. So they want to put in stations or programs that will attract listeners, their primary listeners and secondary listeners. They want to increase their weekend audience. So for me, I don't pay. It's barter only.
All right, gotcha. Now, are these radio stations, are they looking, are they niche? You know, you and I have kind of talked about finding your audience, your niche, knowing what kind of content you're creating and who you're creating it for. Are radio stations doing that, or are they just saying, hey, we want a variety of talk show style shows to fill time?
On the weekends, the great thing is it's less niche. And so I'd say 85% of the radio stations I'm on are AM with FM translator news talk stations. And they can be either conservative or progressive. My show is neither. It's a personal experience show. It doesn't get into politics. So it doesn't chase away listeners for either one. Then I'm on some stations which are primarily weekends. Almost all the stations are on my show. And some of them are music. They're predominantly AC or Christian based music. And my show's a total departure from that. But see, nothing about my show will chase away listeners. All it can do is attract new listeners to their station. The other plus for them is it gives them content they can sell. I'll give you an example. My sister did radio sales for years in Virginia. Her biggest client on AM FM news talk stations was a pawn shop with a gun range. They paid massive amounts of money to get in front of her audience. So what my show is highly sponsorable, and it gives content that will appeal to most stations. I've talked to I'm on a classic rock station, some AC stations, a couple Christian music stations, and the rest are predominantly news talk stations on weekends.
Okay, man, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, that's awesome. I love the opportunity for variety there. So you kind of mentioned something about licensing there for a minute. So if I get in touch with a radio station, which I'm going to ask you that in just a few minutes, of how do I do this, and they say, yeah, we want to play your show, we want to air your show, do I still own all the rights to my stuff? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I own all my content. I have a silent partner. I own all my content. Syndicated means that they can play your program. We use radio in this example. Your program, any time of day or night they want. It's fed through Westwood One satellite. They just put the numbers in their log, boom, boom, and it's automatically there, and it's fed to their listeners. They don't own it. Same with the podcast. I own my podcast only, and I'm solely responsible for the content I put in there. So they don't own it. When I work for a radio station, for example, the group I work for now, when I do voice tracks in the Florida Keys on the music station there, they own it. I'm an employee. My show, it's my baby. It's my business.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. I was curious about that. And here's a question that came in from John, another John. He says, how do you feel about creating an internet radio station opposed to FM, AM radio?
Look, I have a chance to be on. I've been on some FM, AM radio stations. I mean, internet radio stations with my show. As long as I don't have to pay for it, I'm open to it. Most of the internet radio stations don't get much of an audience. So always bear that in mind. Would I create one with the way the royalty rates are for music nowadays and internet? No, I would not. And then you have to buy the music itself. So even oldies, the amount of money you're going to pay monthly overhead wise can be a big nut that'll strangle you. There's a royalty fee with music everywhere else. Talk, there's no fees. So look, everything I create, everything I put out there, everything that's sponsored, it's 100% profit to me.
That's awesome. So when you're signed up with, you know, through a radio station, I guess you're getting the licensing to use music. Are you playing, or is that something that you're not doing, is playing music?
No, I don't do that at all. I have a local rock band in South Florida has an instrumental song, and I approached them a long time ago. Said, hey, can I use this? And they sent me email. So I've been writing this, used by permission. So when on the music radio world, as an employee, they pay a licensing fee. They pay royalties every month to different companies to use music. So you can use that there. In the podcast world, you can't. A lot of the AM, FM news talker stations, they may be part of a cluster that has a license to play copyrighted music. Others don't. I don't have time to create a radio version that has different music from a podcast, right? Music that I have permission to use. Other than that, I don't use any music at all.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's good to know, because I think, you know, maybe somebody would go, oh, I'll do a radio show. That'd be kind of fun. So essentially, John, are you breaking up your podcast and your radio the same amount of segments? Are you just repurposing that content, or are you shooting a podcast and then recording a radio show? Or how does that work in your workflow?
That's a great question. First of all, 95% of the podcast content is from a radio show. The difference is, in the radio, I open with an intro, and then I have what I call a teaser. It's about 15 seconds of me saying what's coming up in that. Then I have the sponsor. Then I go into the content of the show. And each segment I gave the links. With the podcast version, I move the teaser first. So the very first thing someone hears when they tune in is me, my voice, and what's coming up in that episode. And I try to use language that is powerful, that is explosive, that gets your interest. Because having respect for listeners' time is one of the most important things. The one thing that you and I have that we can't replace is time. So if they spend part of their day with me, I want them to be served immediately. So when they hear my voice, and this is what's coming up, for example, the one I just did today, which is an older episode, I reloaded it with a new intro. It's about a very complex, difficult investigation and arrest of a serial killer back in the 1960s that created a lot of racial unrest in the town this man worked in. So I started exactly with that kind of terminology. And then I went into the intro. So the big thing is, I could also do podcast material that doesn't work for the format of radio. And people don't like the term pay for play, but when someone approaches me to be on a podcast, if their story doesn't fit the format, they have another option. And the option means I have to work, then you're going to pay for it. So we can do paid placement for infomercials or whatever might be in the podcast version. I don't do a lot of them because, quite honestly, most of the people, when you say to them, oh, yeah, that'd be $5,000, they go, no, never mind. Yeah, so, but I can do short special episodes. I can do a 20-minute episode in the podcast. There's things I can do on there that I can't do on radio. It's a perfect marriage.
Yeah, man, that's cool. I like it. I like that you're using that content. You're doing it once. You're using it multiple times. You know, I know we don't have a ton of time, and we got marketing, promoting, and all this kind of stuff. So it's really nice to be able to sit down once and kill two birds with one stone. So say I have, like, created a show, may have created a podcast, and now I'm really curious about getting it on a radio station. Who in the world do I even reach out to? Do I call a radio host friend, or is there, like, a website? Where do I go?
The first thing is you go to, and everybody who's a podcaster should go there and get a free membership. It's allaccess.com, allaccess.com. It's the North American radio and music industry website. So they have Canada, North America, some Central America. And they've got job forms in there for free. Membership there, by the way, is free. You got an internet, they got a directory of stations. First thing I would do is go to stations in your market where your radio show resides, where your podcast resides. Reach out to them and email them. Don't waste a lot of time and money creating intricate packages to send to them, because if they don't have an opening, it's not happening. And chances are it's going to take a while, but start emailing. And that's what I did. I created an email list, and it took me probably about a year. So I've got about 6,000 radio decision makers across the United States. I email them about once every 3 weeks.
Wow.
So that took a long time to build, but once you developed an email relationship in a business-to-business world, then it's all fair game. The other thing is, if you don't look where the information is being put out there, there's forums for radio, there's format forums, there's talk, there's music, there's podcast only, there's social media, there's a lot of other forums in there. You get free information. Membership's free. And it's a great way of getting people to get to know you.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So are you going to sell that list, John? Are you going to curate it real nice and put it in a PDF?
I do have some people that pay me to send their ads out. So, you know, yeah. It's certainly not free, but I do it reasonably. It's not a lot of money. But I don't give them the data, because that just would be unfair. And quite honestly, it's bordering on spam, in my opinion. So yeah, I don't give people data.
Yeah, man. No, I totally understand that. Yeah, I guess I was more asking like, hey, is there a service or something you provide? So that's kind of cool, man. That's pretty neat of you to do that. And probably, you know, I'm sitting here going, wow, could this show be on radio? Now,
your show absolutely could be on radio. See, your fishing show has mass appeal. It has mass appeal. You know the numbers. You know your audience. How many people fish off the coast of North Carolina? How much money is poured into that industry every day? There's television shows, Wicked Tuna Outer Banks about that. And there's lots of money to be made in that. Here's the thing. You probably need to have about 40 minutes worth of content. A lot of content you have already, you can edit it a little bit, shorten it up, and make it fit the clock and be ready to go. But one thing is, why not? How many stations out there in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina are looking for content like this? You just want to be in front of them when they decide, oh, the show's now gone. I got to fill it with something. What about that fishing show? Remember Billy Thorpe and that fishing show he had? Let's try that for a while and give it a 3-month run and see what happens.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's awesome. So who, and if it, you know, whoever's listening, if you guys got questions, feel free to hit in the comments. Just put a little Q:, ask your question, and we'll put it on the screen. We'll ask John those questions because this, I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge, like 18 years in the business, already telling you how to reach out, even starting today, reach out to these guys and gals and put, you know, pitch your show to be on these networks. So John, is there any other like prep stuff I need to do before I reach out to these people? Do I need to put a show together in a radio format and have demo samples?
You need to have a demo. And I recommend 2 demos that you send in your email newsletter to them or email, whatever. You're just doing it 1 email at a time, that's fine. You can use SoundCloud. That's what I use. And your demo is going to be about 2 minutes. And what you do is you have about 15-second segments, and you try to show them a variety of things. So, for example, a show like yours, you'd have the intro and the first demo. You'd say, hey, this is Billy Thorpe. This is the main name of my show. Here's my phone number. And you go, boom, right into it. You put little sound effects in between each segment. So you'd have 15 seconds, the intro. Then you'd have a little bit, hey, we got a contest coming up. Learn how you, blah, blah. Then in the next segment, which is the interview, and you do that for about 2 minutes. Get 2 of those together. Second one, you won't have the intro. You just have, hey, this is Billy Thorpe. This is the name of our show. This is how you get in touch with me, and go right into it. You want them to have something to listen to. Secondly, you can take your podcast and you can put the link in there and say, you can listen to past episodes of podcasts to get a feel for the format. However, I'll give you a word of warning, not for you. This is for everybody else. If you have content in there that is going to scare the bejesus out of program directors and threaten their FCC license, yank it. Don't put it on there where they can hear it, because they'll say, nope, not taking the chance on this guy, this girl, whatever it might be. Here's the real truth. You and I are big in sponsorship. You and I are big into creating revenue from what we do. A big part of my revenue is radio. I show advertisers and sponsors radio, podcasts, social media, and other things that they can be in front of. It's not just the podcast. When it's just about the podcast, it becomes all about CPM. And you and I both agree. Yeah. CPM means costing podcasters money. That's not the real definition. But the other thing you want to do is go through your social media before you start contacting people. And anything you have in your social media that's questionable, get rid of it. Mm. Get rid of it. Just take this weekend and start scrubbing your social media. Start scrubbing your old episodes of your podcast before you reach out to anyone. Because the slightest thing, what they don't want to have happen is that they take a chance on you. They don't want their phone ringing on Monday morning. People saying, hey, this guy's, we want to boycott your station, your sponsors, because we don't like his content or something he or she said. So get rid of it.
So John, I mean, I love that you said that. I love you brought it up. Make sure you're presenting. Make sure you're, you know, you're being professional. You want to be on a professional radio station, show up like a professional. So is there like a list of rules where I can go find that on your website or somewhere, some other website where I can kind of get a little checklist of like, what's the type of things I need to eliminate before I present?
Do a thing like FCC rules for radio. You'll find them in there. If you go to All Access, you'll find them. Most of what we talk about is common sense. this goes back to.
Well, that's why I asked the question. I don't know how many people have that anymore.
Back to, look, there are certain things that Joe Rogan can get away with that I can't get away with. There are certain things that Colin Kaepernick can get away with that I can't get away with. I'm not a big name person. I'm not a big brand. No one's offering millions of dollars to be outspoken. So if you want to be outspoken, by all means, go ahead. It's your show. If you are not Joe Rogan or those people, be prepared not to get to have people spend money with you. If you're asking companies like Coca-Cola, Adidas, Nike, or whoever it might be to spend tens of thousands of dollars a month with you, make sure you are professional and you have something that they want to be part of. Again, this goes back to the radio thing. You give any example of why they don't want to do business with you, they will take it and they'll run with it. They won't do business with you.
Yeah, because they probably got a dime a dozen knocking on their door. So they want to pick the right ones, the best ones. So, well, John, man, I love this content. I think you've nailed it, knocked it out of the park. You've given me a ton of homework to do. Is there anything I didn't set you up that you want to share about or mention or say about getting your podcast syndicated to radio?
Look, if you're interested in doing it, I'll repeat what I said before. I'm not special. I've had great teachers. You run with it, try. People like Billy have a great show and great content. There's a little prayer I say quite often, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Please don't let someone steal my dreams, crush my hope, waste my time. Most importantly, God, don't let that person be me. When you hear people, especially in social audio world, telling you, you can't do that, or I want to cuss, I want to do it. Remember this. If you have a mission, you want to accomplish something, don't listen to those people. Most of those people, while well-intended, are trying to sell you something. So Billy talk, Billy tells you the truth. When you hear me talk, I'll tell you the truth. Or as other people will tell you the truth, it's your show. You can do what you want. If you want to get big, the world's your oyster and you got plenty of opportunity. That microphone that we're talking into, that you're talking into, it's not just a tool. It's an opportunity to get your message out to the world.
Awesome, John. Love it, man. So real quick, before we wrap this thing up, let people know how they can get in touch with you. Where's the best place to go? Because I know you do a lot of different things. You're on Clubhouse, doing a lot of podcasting and radio rooms and helping people out, man. That's what I love about you is you're a wealth of knowledge and you're giving it away as fast as you can and helping everybody out. So how can we find you? And if there's opportunity to do business with you or program or something, feel free to share that as well.
Yeah, you can find, you can do a Google search for Law Enforcement Today radio show or go to talkmedianetwork.com. Look at their programs. Look for Law Enforcement Today. You'll find me there. The podcast, anywhere podcasts are served, just type in Law Enforcement Today podcast. You'll find it. I'm in Clubhouse quite a bit. I've got my own website, podcasting2radio.com. That's the number two. Lots of free tools on there you can download. We've got rooms that we do. I'm also a club pod leader. And I try to give from my experience and stay away from speculation or stuff I've heard. Or get into arguments with people and stay away from my opinion. So feel free to follow me on Clubhouse. And when I can help out, I'll be more than happy to.
Awesome, John. Appreciate that. And you guys can find all those things in the show notes and the description. John, once again, really appreciate you, man. Your wealth of knowledge. And I'd love to have you back on the show sometime to talk about sponsorship, something near and dear to both of our hearts.
Oh, that's right. You made a little joke the other day about my sponsor baby. Because, look, I want people to understand this. And I'm going to close on this. Those of you with the podcast, if you are not searching for a big Facebook page to get your show on, if you're not leveraging big Facebook pages, you are wasting a huge opportunity. That's how I got in front of a large audience. We've been sponsored since the third month. First sponsor was a year. Second sponsor was about 2.5 years. Then it was about 9 months of no main response, and it just signed a big one for about 6 figures a year. So it takes a lot of work, but it's like birthing. You have... People who think there's an overnight success, yeah, good luck. There's a few. But you're going to work, and you're going to work your tail feathers off. If you want to make money with this, just be prepared to put in the work.
I love it, man. I love it, John. Thank you so much again for being on the show. Definitely having you back because we're gonna hash out the sponsorship stuff because I know that's, man, it's my favorite thing is talking about how do you make money with this stuff. We spend so much time on it. So appreciate you, John, and we'll catch you later, man. Appreciate you.
Pleasure being here. Thank you.
All right, everyone, that is my friend John Wiley. Be sure to go follow him. It's going to be all in the description so you can get in touch with him. And we're going to talk about those sponsors. I'm going to bring him back on the show. That's a promise because there's a lot of opportunity here. And he's talked about now how do you grow your audience? How do you get out there in front of millions of people and millions of ears to listen to your content, get to know you as a creator, get to know your content, and build that community and build that audience so you can go to those sponsors. And you don't have to have a huge audience, but you definitely have to have an audience. And I don't know about you guys, but literally just now, John gave us the winning recipe of how to grow that and get in front of more people every day or every week, every month, whatever your frequency is. So do the homework. You know, maybe a few of you, if you're really interested, maybe you reach out to me. Maybe we do it together. Maybe we figure out a little system where we can, you know, work on this together because I'd love to get my show out there in front of more people as well. Definitely my fishing show, maybe Creating Daily down the road, would be super amounts of fun. So if you enjoy this content, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, go to buymeacoffee.com/Billy Thorpe and buy me a cup of Maven coffee, by the way. That's where I'm going to buy. Or go buy me a bag of coffee and I'll give you my address. You can ship it to me. Or those guys know it. Just tell them, hey, I'm buying Billy a bag of coffee. But anyway, really appreciate you joining me. Come back tomorrow. I'm going to be here at 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow to talk to my friend Kane about building a podcast community. We're so focused on building our audience. We're so focused on getting people to listen to our show. But how do we bring them a step closer? How do we bring them a little deeper and turn those audience members into community members? And I just launched a community that actually launches tomorrow, very timely. So I'll share a little bit of my experience about that as well. But until then, go hit your record button. Go hit your go live button, whatever it is. Get your message out there. It matters. It's important. And most of all, just have a really good time. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you soon.